ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय।
Krishna consciousness, that ප්‍රිය චිත්ත වෙනසේ අප චිත්ත වෙනසේ තස්කාදස මතක වේරාජි එන්නදස් වසමිය අසිත මහ ප්‍රභු අසෝ අවන් වෙනසින් දවස් මා ප්‍රභු තෝනේ බස් පර නෝ යෝස් බාරින් දෙපස ප්‍රණන්සිය ජස්වද සේත වාණි රස්ත පරිතනලේ මෙන්තනින් අනවටට දැක්කිය දෙය සකපතන සේත මාකි සේත මාකි ගොස් පාර විදකන් වාරිනේ දෙස් Running, self to an authority. And such submission is not blind. Why? Because, first of all, before submitting to an authority, one has to evaluate the authority. Like before you buy gold in the market, you have to evaluate the gold, isn't it? Whether it's 24 carats or what? How many carats? You have to check the validity of the purity of gold. Then you can buy it. So there are different varieties of tests available to understand whether a person is a genuine guru. When you come to the Sokanta Smart, that will be 24 carats. You will learn in more detail about the spiritual master. But one has to identify the person in this world who can lead us back to Godhead. And once one has identified a person, then one has to completely convince oneself to such a spiritual master. And here authoritative knowledge from him. And then by learning from him and following, that is called the Avarohan path. That is like a straightaway approach. That's something that knows that way directly, very easy, direct approach. Otherwise one has to go through this. Jnana yogena sankhyana. By approaching a spiritual master, one can learn how to do karma yoga. How to be a part of the world and work at the same time, not get entangled. Exactly like a lotus leaf in which there's a drop of water. But never have you seen it? A drop of water and a lotus leaf. No one here and there. At the least expected moment, it will fall away from the leaf. So it is having absolutely no connection to the leaf. In the same way, we can remain as a part of the world. This morning we were discussing how this is explained, I think, by Abhut Samaraja. Very beautiful example of wind is given. The wind goes to sometimes garden, fragrant garden, and takes fragrance. Sometimes it goes to waterfall, and by going through the water, it becomes completely fresh. And it is fragrant and fresh. The same rain sometimes passes through garbage, and passes through cutters, passes through meat shop, and carries some abominable smell, obnoxious smell. But same rain. But the wind is actually completely free from this kind of, what do you call it, the nasty smell or the fragrant smell. Wind is not attached to it. In the same way, he explains that the Atma is never affected. Atma is completely free from both. It's free from Sukha and Dukha. Actual Sukha and Dukha is there in the mind. In the same way, we can't live in the world. At the same time, perform such activities by which we will not become entangled. So the entire chapter is oriented towards self-life. That is why it is called Karma Yoga. So, here Krishna is saying, Lokesman Duvida Anishtha, Puram Prakta Mayanaga, Jnana Yogena Sankhyanam, Karma Yogena Yoginam. So, Srila Prabhupada makes this famous quote, religion without philosophy is sentimentalism, and philosophy without religion is mental speculation. That means if somebody is following some kind of religion, like I said, you have to surrender to your guru. So one should not think I should surrender to any guru. In India, it's very famous, people go to any guru and surrender. Generally people who are coming from pious families, if they come across some Baba, some Sadhu, immediately they surrender. Sadhu Baba is living in Vrindavan, they say, Ashi is living in this place, that place. People quickly surrender without questioning about the validity of the guru. Later on they come to know that this guru is bogus, you are the cheater, you are the womanizer, so many things they come to know. And then the entire family gets disturbed. So one has to be very logical in reasoning and understanding the qualification of a guru. That is very important. That is why it is too important, religion and philosophy. Krishna consciousness is not a blind process. Everything is explained with proper reason. Prabhupada, in one of the purposes of Bhagavatam, gives a very, I will not tell the name of the sadhu, but he explains about a particular sadhu very strongly, very heavily. So, standing on the strength of Prabhupada, I will try to give the same example. Prabhupada says, spiritual knowledge is not yet electrical transfer. Just like sometimes, you know, when sadhu is there, he keeps his hand on somebody's head, and another person sees the electric shock, and then he feels some kind of chakra. And then all the universes are attacking, revolving around his head. And then the guru starts crying tears. Oh, I have given all my knowledge to you. Now I am gone now. So spiritual knowledge is not just a kind of transfer. It is foolishness. Spiritual knowledge means, when you say Upanishad, the disciple sits near the spiritual master and hears all the philosophy attentively from the mouth of spiritual master. And he understands that with logic and reasoning. And he inquires the spiritual master, why is it like this? Why is it like that? Why could it not be like that? And the inquiry that the disciple is making are not nonsensical knowledge is established in us, this knowledge is not sticky. It's permanently comes in the heart of the disciple. That is how the knowledge comes to the disciple. So in India, there are so many gurus, so many bogus gurus, people cheating. In fact, majority of the gurus, some gurus are giving medicine, some gurus are promising gold, some gurus are promising ashes. Different gurus are promising different things, and people go to such gurus for material well-being. But the gurus are not at all considered gurus. So later on, I will discuss more elaborately about this. I will talk about spiritual master. Please do not take it to your heart, take it to your head. This is a very serious statement. I still like to see my guru. Many of you might be coming in a particular family. You all must be performing some puja at your home. I mean, maybe you have some family gurus or some traditional gurus. When I talk about gurus who are cheaters, we are certainly not indicating hand to any particular person. Anybody who is not faithfully following Krishna's instructions, and anybody who is not a devotee of God, is not at all a guru. A guru means he should come and present his plan, and he should faithfully, sincerely follow himself. If he is unable to follow, he should admit. He should not get to be a charlatan pretender. Just for the sake of public popularity, he shouldn't be taking the role of a guru. So, here, as he is saying, many of the impersonalists, Mayavadis, here, somebody said, the purport, how? According to the Danda Grahana Matrena Naranarayana Bhavet, this is the slogan. Meaning, as soon as you accept the Danda, you become Narayana. That is why they will be saying Namo Narayana when they say. Reason who? He is taking Narayana's name. He may be thinking he is a devotee. But they are not devotees. When they say Namo Narayana, they say because you are a sannyasi, you have become a Narayana now. I am saying I am a Narayana. So purpose is Narayana, Narayana, the meat teacher. And the meat teacher is Narayana. And when they see poor people, they call them as Daridra Narayana. Let us condemn these people very strongly. You might have heard some people, even some innocent people, selling some other missions. They tell us, what are you going to do on Saturday? They say, on Saturday you go for Daridra Narayana and so on. So ask them, what is this Daridra Narayana? How can Narayana do that Daridra? Narayana is always having a eternal concept, goddess of passion, standing like a task. Sorry, Chitam. So they say, Daridra Narayana is going and selling Narayana. Are calling Alakasmas Namo Narayana like that. So, such sannyasi is calling each other as Narayana. You can imagine, already everyone is adequately proud. I mean, you're addressed as Narayana, Narayana. You become more proud, thinking you are the Narayana. Only certain liquor is missing in your hands. So, they become proud and they fall down from their position. So, Thomas Kant of Seven Bhagavatam, there is a very vivid explanation. How one should take up the sannyasa ashram of life very seriously. There is a very vivid explanation. Sannyasa is one who never worries about name and fame in society. He doesn't have hundreds and thousands of disciples surrounding him, and he doesn't want name and fame from them. And he is least concerned about that. He sees gold and stone to be the same. And he goes from place to place. He doesn't stay even in one place for one night. He moves from place to place. He doesn't stay under one tree for even one night. He just stays under one tree and next day he's in a different tree. He travels from place to place. He never becomes attached to anything. He's exactly like a child. He moves from place to place. He doesn't become attached to anything. And he is never fearful. He is completely careless. He boldly goes from place to place to preach the philosophy of Krishna consciousness boldly. And there are many descriptions like that. When we discuss in the 13th chapter, we will very elaborately describe about the life of a sannyasi. So, such a person only should take sannyasi. If somebody is really renounced. So if somebody prematurely takes sannyas before achieving such qualifications, of becoming completely fearless, Advaishta, Sarva Bhutana, Maitra Karana, Yavacha, Nirmamo, Nirahankara, Samasuk Katapashami, he says, Santushta, Sarvam Yogi, Atma, Diranishchaya. Many, many qualifications Krishna is explaining for one to become very determined in spiritual life. Without that, if one takes to sannyas, it is meaningless. That's what Krishna says here in the fourth shloka. Na karmana manarambha naishkaramyam purushasmate adhanyasana deva siddhim samadhi gacchati. Not by merely abstaining from work can one achieve freedom from reaction. Not by renunciation alone can one attain perfection. Please try to understand these two statements. Not by merely abstaining from work can one achieve freedom. Many people of this world think that by they sometimes see brahmacharis in the ashram chanting and dancing. They think we have to work so hard. How nice it is to give up all work and stay in the ashram. One time when I was going in a rickshaw, even a rickshaw wala told me, And she told that he also wants to join the ashram. I asked him, why do you want to join? He said, I had a fight with my wife today. So I want to join that ashram. How many days do you think he will remain in the ashram? Hardly even for, not even for a day. Again, he will have an agreement with his wife tomorrow. So, here he is saying, not merely by abstaining from work can one achieve freedom. Do you think simply by giving up work you can achieve freedom? Do you think by becoming inactive you can achieve freedom? Possible. It happens. We don't deny, even in our moment it could happen. Sometimes people give up everything and they come and stay. But after a month after they will realize, my Lord, this life is very tough. We can't remain like this. Because always the soul wants engagement, and especially the engagement in sense gratification, which is very difficult to give up. One time a king was passing by and he found the sadhu sitting peacefully. So he asked the sadhu, what are you doing? The sadhu said, I am sitting and meditating. So the king said, oh, your job is so easy. But my job is so difficult, I am managing the entire country. And so many soldiers and so many people. Sadhu said, your job is nothing. It's very easy, sadhu said. King became angry and annoyed. But this person doesn't know my value. King asked, can you do my work? If you can, you take it up. He said, in sadhu agreed. Sadhu said, you sit in my place, I will sit in your place. He extends us job. Then the king sat, and the sadhu went in the hall. He went to the palace. By the time the sadhu reached the palace, and before he sat on the throne, the king was back. King said, it is impossible. It is impossible for me to sit under a tree peacefully. I'm very tired. I cannot do that. He said, I cannot sit, I cannot stand. I have to perform the activity of a king. Restlessly. This is what faces me. It's very difficult to give up work in this world. So, simply by giving work, if one tries to become a renunciate, that is an artificial platform. One really needs maturity to renounce the things of the world and stay in the ashram. So, you think not by renunciation alone can one attain perfection. And even if one has simply assumed the renounced order, do you think he can achieve perfection? Certainly not. Like I was explaining here about the sadhus, different people. Ideally speaking, a mental speculator can never give up prescribed duties. Only a devotee is allowed to give up prescribed duties. That is a much higher platform. That Krishna is then the first sutta. That is the first sutta of today. All men are forced to act helplessly according to the impulses born in the mouth of material nature. Therefore, no one can refrain from doing something, not even for a moment. So here, Krishna explains that why one should not just give up work. Why should we not give up work? Because all of us are born into different modes of nature. Some of us are in tamoguna, some of us are in sattvaguna, some of us are in rajaguna. And these three modes are acting upon us. You see, artificially renounce the world and try to situate ourselves in siddha sattvaguna, claim to be in siddha sattvaguna. That is when we will experience a fall down. So we cannot renounce the world artificially. Then what can be done? Should we renounce the world or should we act? That's what Krishna is going to explain in future chapters. That we have to work, but through work, that is Krishna Yatkaroshi, Yadashnati, Yachiroshi, Vradhya, Yatkapasati Kaunteya, Tatkurusham, Mat Arpanam. Whatever you do, whatever you give, whatever you offer, whatever you give away, all that you are doing is, this thing should be offered to me as a sacrifice. And this will lead to gradual purification. Then, one can come to the platform of Siddha Sattva. Otherwise, one should artificially renounce. Now, when we talk of renounce platform, we are talking about Sanyas platform. That's very important. We don't talk about Brahmachari platform, we talk about Sannyasi. Sannyasi is a real renounced platform. So one shouldn't take up Sannyasi order unless one is liberated completely. Only liberated soul can become a Sannyasi. If somebody is not liberated and he becomes a Sannyasi, then very soon he will experience fallout. So, here Prabhupada also explains in the purport that a devotee who is performing the expected duties for the sake of purification in the world, he might give up his prescribed duty for the sake of performing Krishna consciousness. Is it alright or not? Is it correct or not? Is it alright that one can give up one's prescribed duty and get to Krishna consciousness? It's a very, very deep subject. Dharma sparishtika pumsa vishyaksena katasyaha na utpadiyet adhiratim shramayeva hikyavanat. And then two, three shabdas, consider all of them in your mind and then tell the answer. He says, dharma sparishtika pumsa. A person who is very carefully following his prescribed duty. Swaparishtita. Swaparishtita means swadharma. He is doing his own swadharma. Anishtita prasam. Vishyasena katasena. Now it's body related to In the Gaurava's heart, if your loving affection for Krishna is not arisen, then such a performance of prescribed duty is Shramayoga hi kevalam. It's a mere waste of time. And another Sada he says, what is that? Adapumbya Vijat Shrestha Varnasama Vibhanasa Sanishtikasya Karmasa Sanskriti Haritoshana. The Varnasama order, Brahmachari Grihas Avanapa Sanyas is met only for one purpose. That is Sanskriti Haritoshana. One should perform the Varnasama only for pleasing Lord Hari, he says. So, that means, performance of prescribed duty should lead us to loving affection for Krishna. If it doesn't lead, it's a mere waste of time. On the other hand, the one gives a prescribed duty and completely engages in Krishna consciousness. That is also welcome if it is done under the order of spiritual master. One shouldn't do that whimsically. There is a shloka told by Narada Muni, very beautiful shloka. He says, Tattva dharmam charanam bhujam hare padanna patto tapate tado yadi tattva vabhadram abodam ushyakim ko vata apto vabhadatam sadharma taha. He says, tattva sadharmam, a person who gives up his sadharma for one purpose, charanam bhujam hare, for the sake of taking shelter of Lord Hari, for that purpose he is giving up his prescribed duty. Whatever it is. Bhajanna apakvota pateta tajadi. Apakvota means what? You know apakva? Immaturity. Bhajanna apakvota pateta tajadi. Because of immaturity he is falling down from his spiritual status. Bhagavan is questioning in the next land. He is saying, Yatrakva vabhadya mabhudamushyakyam. What loss is that in such a fall down? He is asking. Kovata asro abhadatam sadarmatah. And what does a person achieve? Simply by performing prescribed duties without achieving Krishna consciousness. How do we understand this question? Very deep question. Who can say the last question to say all this, no? One person can say, one only word. Somebody can try? Third question, third line and fourth line. I ask two questions.
What is the loss? Yeah.
Yes, very nice. Huh? So, what loss is that in performance of Krishna consciousness, even if a person falls down? How can you justify this statement? Anybody can justify this statement? You have heard second chapter thoroughly. And justify this statement. So, here it is saying, what loss is that even if a person falls down in Krishna consciousness? Huh? 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 Yeah, what is the sloka? Sloka? Neha Vikramana Shasti, correct. So he has endeavored, and even if he falls down from his status, still whatever he has performed will go with him. On the other hand, if somebody is very nicely performing his prescribed duty, every morning he's getting up, he's opportunistic, and he's eating the breakfast, then going to office, and performing his duty as a whatever, everyone has prescribed duty, farmer has his farmer duty. Businessman has a business duty. Every person has his own prescribed duties. If one is performing prescribed duties but is forgetting Krishna, then such a life is considered broken. It's useless. Kovata asu avasita asu dantala. What gain is going to be there in such a life where there is no Krishna consciousness? Is awesome. So, in Krishna consciousness, when one is surrendering, it is said, Deva, Rishi, Bhuta, Asa, Nena, Krishna, all the debts that a person has for his father, mother, Deva, Rishis, and different demigods, all the wind means a debt. Nakinkara Dayam Rinicharajan. A person is not at all obliged to any of these people when he surrenders to Krishna. Because it's a direct process. So, here Prabhupada explains about this, Shabaraika Shri Chanamati, that everyone is distressed in this world and wants to perform activity. So one should situate himself in the world and continue to perform whatever he is performing. And direct that cultivate Krishna consciousness. And one is very strong and very determined to completely absorb himself in Krishna consciousness. That one can give up prescribed duty. Then, such a giving up of prescribed duty also is agreeable. Because it is meant for Krishna. Yes, yes. Do you understand this or is it difficult? Actually, Nishipita has explained here about the being active. The matter is always dead and the spirit is active. Just like if there is an aeroplane standing in a particular place here, it may remain here for millions of years. It cannot move. But if one spiritual spark enters the plane, that as life. So what moves the aeroplane is the atma, pilot. And that's what is aeroplane. In the same way, Krishna says, Bhumi Rapo Anala Vayu Kham Maha Buddhi Revacha Ahankara Iti Yamme Dina Prakriti Ashtapa. These eight things, earth, water, fire, air, ether, mind, intelligence, ego, they all are actually inferior matter. And then next one, what he says, Apareyam, Satasvanyam, 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 Yavabhuta Mahabhahu, Dayedam, Sariyatikadam. He says, Apareyam. There is also Apareyam, Satasvanyam. Besides the inferior matter, there is also superior energy. What is superior energy? Prakriti? That is not the Prakriti, that is not Purusha. He doesn't say, Apareyam, Satasvanyam, Purusha, Nyamparam. He doesn't say. What does he say? Prakriti may pram. So we are also Prakriti. Jiva is also Prakriti only. That means Prakriti means enjoyed. So dead matter is called as inferior energy and the Atma is called as superior energy. So superior energy is called as superior. Why? Who can say why? He can manipulate inferior energy. That must be it. Even matter is not the person person. Wow. Huh? Actually, there is nothing that is separate from Krishna. It's Sachidananda, of course, but even matter is coming from Krishna. Matter comes from Krishna only. Because it's a bad place, how do you explain me? Bhagavad will agree. So because it can manipulate matter, that's the main reason why it is. For example, like you have taken a wooden tree and you have made this table, isn't it? And then so we are manipulating matter. We can do that. In fact, the inferiority can do, superiority can do so many things in this world. You can see, nowadays we have computers, we have electronics machines, we are sending rockets. How much the superiority is doing? And the superiority is Atma. And you can manipulate matter. But body is also made up of matter, is it not? Is it not? Body is like flesh, bones, nervous, so everything is made up of matter. And we are Atma, we are superior. Why can't we dictate the matter to not entangle us? And tell the body, where are you entangling me? Leave me. I don't want to take labels and I want to go back to God. So you dictate the matter and you leave it and you go back to God. Can you do that? Why are you not able to do that? So how can this, this is actually inferior matter, how can it condition you? Very very close answer, right? Sita Vyasana Bhagavaya. No, of course, if you suggest that you can come here, that is, we are superior energy, we should be able to dictate matter. But that would be the answer. Share your answer, yes, yes. We have only got the same video there, but then, who does that duty? That is actually very correct. They both have the correct answer, right? Yes, correct. This is actually Prabhupada's statement. Prabhupada says this, please, I kindly read the purport of the shloka. What is the shloka? Vaivihya shavanamayi mamaya adhraptaya mamevi ekapasyante mayame kampasyate. This body is dead matter, it has no power to control you. But because Krishna has told this matter to control you, it is controlling you. That's it. That's why it is able to control it. What understand this point? This body is controlled by the divine will. She was telling the same answer. Paramatma is dictating the karmana devane trena. Paramatma is dictating the matter. Put this man and you entrap him and you trouble him. Let him undergo all the strength. Then let him realize the truth. That is why he dictated. So once having acquired the body, then the superior energy forgets his nature and identifies with the body. And then he engages in so many materialistic activities. The shloka is very significant. Mahi kachi charamati jyata shikati karmati. The word avasha he is used. What meaning of avasha? Helplessly. He says here, what is the name? He has a bad translation. Mahi kachi charamati jyata shikati karmati kru. Kari sehi. Avasha, helplessly, yeah. Avasha means helplessly. Helplessly made to act in this world according to the mode. Later on, Krishna will explain how Chaturthi Kriyamana. The three modes are making people to act. Although they are making to act helplessly, it will depend on your desire, as Shesha is telling us now. We desire, and the three modes are making us dance. A puppet. We become like puppets in the hands the same as opposite. So everyone has to do the activity. See, Krishna, how intelligent he comes to conclusions, you see. He is telling now, Madhya Rajana, nobody can become inactive. It is not possible. Everyone has to be active. Everyone is acting helpless in this world. So he is telling Arjuna that you are also forced to act. You also have to act. And how you should act, I will teach you. He is telling. So it is not possible to become inactive because we are under three modes. And especially when we are under the three modes, it is impossible to become inactive. It is not possible. So while being active in this world, how we can design our activities, mode our activities in such a way that we can purify our consciousness. That one should think of. That's what Krishna is telling us. Just imagine the soul, when he is enwrapped in this body, if it can be so active and so talented. There are people who travel three countries in one day. You see? Morning they are in one country, afternoon in another country. They're doing so much business nowadays, these people traveling. So the Atma, even after being trapped in an embodied condition, can be so active. You can imagine when he is liberated from this body, how active he will be, can imagine. That's like, sometimes in schools you see, you know, children participate in a track race, you know track race? You put them inside a track, still they run, doing inside a track. And that is the first place, second place, third place, even in a track race. We are all in a track race now, we put in a track, body is back. Still you are so active. But when you are taken out of the track, imagine how fast you will run. Isn't it? So Atma is, by nature, very dynamic and very active. So, Krishna tells Arjuna that Atma, the nature is dynamic, so it is artificial to become inactive by going to a secluded place and becoming inactive. So you have to be active, but the question is, how to be active? The person in mode of passion is active in the wrong direction. The person in pure goodness is very dynamic and active, but he is in the right direction. So we all have to be dynamic, but we should know in what direction. So we will solve this one at the latest part, then we will go ahead with, when we go to 6th, 7th and 8th and 9th, then you will understand more clearly how one can work in this world without getting entangled, just like a kamalata, just like a drop of water in a lotus leaf, without becoming attached to the world. And such performance of work is very blissful, because when you do work like that and don't get entangled, Isha Prishit says, one can live for hundreds of years without getting entangled. You can go on performing work for hundreds of years, you will never get entangled. All your work will be in proper pure Krishna consciousness. That is the art of all work, actually. That is the meaning of real yoga. That we should learn how to work. So, in our present moment we are neophyte, we may not know how to make decisions. But when we, especially when we read the chapter, fourth chapter, fifth chapter, more we read and learn and understand and digest this thing. At every point of time we can clearly see, this is material work, this is spiritual work, we can clearly see. Some people come to a quick conclusion, that now I am going to college, that is material work. Now I am going to temple, that is spiritual work. That is foolishness. Because going to college or going to company is not considered material for a devotee. For a devotee, the devoting time in the morning to chant the Lord's names and read Bhagavad Gita, you cannot forget the Lord in the daytime. It is very difficult. Do you write it? Isn't it? When you go to company, most of them are reminded of devotees. Sometimes you are reminded of the Lord's darshan. Sometimes you are reminded of prasadam. Prasadam you are mostly reminded. So, something or other you are reminded in something connected to devotion service. Because our process is so powerful, the morning is you chant 16 rounds and you take darshan of the Lord and you do mangalarti at home at the temple. Then in the daytime you are acharya, something like a bulletproof layer on the body, something like a vibrant energy in the body. All day you can't forget. Something of the devotional things keep on coming in the mind. So if one keeps on performing this for years, he will become a perfectionist in this process. So we will learn as we go ahead. Oh, I was telling about the work. Then your work is also considered divine. The work you do in the company, or the work you do in the college, is considered spiritual. For that matter, Arjuna was fighting in the battlefield. It looks like a passion actually. But because he was following the order of Krishna, and fulfilling Krishna's desire, that is a purely spiritual thing. There is not a tinge of material most active on him. You all understand this point? So we will learn more about it in future. Right. Any questions? One question. How should we do that? Karmyoga and Bhaktyoga are the same. You run after Sadhana Purush to Krishna. Karmyoga and Bhaktyoga are not much different. Karmyoga means you do the karma and after the Purush to Krishna. That's the Rosh Yadashnati. Whatever you eat, whatever you do, whatever you offer, whatever you give away, did an offering to me, Krishna. So, what we are doing karma is offer to Krishna. That we will learn later. Later Krishna will explain that there are devotees who work and offer the fruits to Krishna. But there are other devotees who will explain that offer their whole existence to Krishna. Ultimately, both come to the same platform. Krishna Krishna, Panyagi and Bhaktiyagi. Ultimately, we will come to the pure platform of Bhakti. There are very slight differences. You don't have to worry about that. But if whatever you are doing, we should offer it to Krishna. That should be our point. Any other question? Is it too philosophical, this chapter? I didn't have any story today. You make the move along with you. We are actually, whenever we go to the middle world, we always think, oh, this person, you know, he likes coffee and he's going to offer me coffee. And if they say no, some people may say no, you know, they feel it to be a great humiliation. Especially in companies and all, no? And a friend is offering you something, he's saying, oh, why don't you take this thumbs up or why don't you take coffee? No? And he says, no, I don't take it. He feels as if you are kicking on the face. They feel like that sometimes, very humiliated. Sometimes devotees say, what to do, you know, friends, when they ask, you know, we can't say no to them. We have to adjust with them, you know. But we should not adjust with them, they should adjust with us. That should be by our behavior and practice, we should show them. In fact, as for a bit of time, they will appreciate your strictness. In one Muslim company in the Arab countries, you know what happened, it's a real story. There were many Hindus working there, and they used to go with Vaishnava class like this. Many people. So one day, the one of the company became very annoyed. He said, what is this Hindu that are putting salads and coming to company? How is a Muslim company, all Muslims for that? Why do people are doing like this? He banned it. He said, from today on, we have a rule, we have to come. So one man, next day he came with that. He knew that he would be thrown out of the job. Still he came with that. And the message went to the owner. Then he waited for a couple of days, 3 days, for the every day he came with that. And he called for him after a week. So he was wrong. And they asked him, are you not afraid of your life? How dare you come into company like this? He said, sorry sir, I cannot give up my principles. If you like me to come like this, you allow me, otherwise I will take the job. So, then the owner told him, okay, you will be the only person permitted to come with us. Nobody else. He is still going with us. So people will certainly appreciate that you are a man or you are a woman of principles. If you follow that. People appreciate it. Like for example, if people see devotees, in the beginning they will try to ridicule you. Sometimes you are so sensitive to ridicule. If other people are talking there, you think they are talking about me only. You think like that. If you become a little afraid, they will be talking about something else. Isn't it? They say, what did you tell about me? Or sometimes they ridicule about that. But if you don't care about the ridicule, then they become angry upon you. What is that? I am ridiculing so much, but the devotee is never caring for my ridicule. And they should anger on you. Even after they become angry, still you don't worry about them. You are going on with your Krishna consciousness with full condition. Then the third level is, they gain respect for you. In your way they respect you. In front of you they may not respect you, but in your absence they will say, oh, this person is not an ordinary person, he is very strict. You know, he doesn't touch me, he doesn't do that. There are so many things they will say. They will be preaching for Krishna consciousness. And on behalf of you. That is true, that you can see that. So we should stick on very firmly to our principles. We should never give up. And I don't mean that we have to be very fanatical. There's a very thin borderline between what is fanaticism and what is acting according to time, place and circumstance. There's a very thin line. Thin line is, for example, sometimes, for example, number. If we can give examples of fanaticism, how devotee could be fanatical? Of course, we can follow auspices, but we don't have to broadcast. When we tell about auspices to others, or like for example, a person first comes to you. First, he is just coming to you, the first time. And then you are going to your company, and then you call him and say, do you know about our moment? He says, what is our moment? You follow four related principles. You are not telling him, who is Krishna, what is soul. Directly, you tell him about four principles. Devotee could finish saying, he will disappear. So that is fanaticism, being just too much fanatical. Prabhupada never thought of this principle for many years actually, in America when he was preaching. That doesn't mean that he was that is the principle. After some years, he got out the principle. Please understand one thing. Even a drunkard or a smoker is very much eligible for chanting Hare Krishna. He is not eligible for chanting Hare Krishna. Anybody is eligible. But if one wants to make a tangible progress, then one has to follow four greater principles. When you follow four principles, then you become a brahmana. Then you become actually a human being. From that, it is very easy to make progress. But when you don't follow them, then you go in a very, very sluggish way, like a snail's pace. Very slowly. So, of course, we have to be very practical by speaking to people. But we shouldn't adjust ourselves so much that over a period of time, we become like them. Instead, they becoming like us. That is very important. There are a lot of devotees who have influenced people. There was a devotee who was going for book distribution abroad. You know, in abroad, countries abroad, it is very dangerous to distribute our books. Because there are Christians and other religious people who are deadly against us. And the government is sometimes supportive. And they catch them and put them in jail and they give them so much severe punishment for that. So once one of these ISKCON devotees, he was remaining in ISKCON for about 10 years or 12 years. So he was taking a van and going for distribution and he was caught red-handed in one place. And they found out that he had so many books with him. And they put him in the jail. And then, I think about 2 weeks after passed. And he belongs to a faraway temple. And those temple devotees, they were all lamenting. Oh, our friend has gone to that jail. I don't know what is happening to him. He is going to fall down from his spiritual life because he has been miserable now. Police may be punishing him and so many things they were thinking about him. And so they sent two representatives from the temple to inspire this devotee, to go and give him prasadam, give him clothes and inspire him so that he will not feel left alone, you know. So they sent two, three devotees to go and see. In the meantime, after 2-3 weeks, the devotee was living in the jail. When the two devotees went to meet the devotee in the jail, as soon as they came to the police station, they found that something special is correct. And then Hare Krishna, they said, they were stunned completely. Two inspectors were sitting outside. And then, when they went little inside the jail, they could hear people clapping hands in mridangam and kartas, and roaring jarana mother was going on. And they went inside to see. And then they came from the jail. The thing they saw, at least about 70-80 people were there. And he was sitting with closed eyes, chanting, Jaya Ramadha, playing with them, and the kirtan was going on. He was doing Bhagavatam class. So very softly and silently, like a cat, he went and sat behind and heard a nice Bhagavatam class and got inspired. Instead of giving inspiration to him, they got inspired by him. So there are very influential devotees like that. They can go, there are people like that. So we should try to influence people by our devotional qualities, not become influenced by them. Sometimes when you go outside, when you travel outside, you don't want to speak about Krishna, you are afraid a little bit. Or you think, you know, why should I unnecessarily pick up quarrel with someone? Only it ends up in a quarrel. So you think better keep quiet. You keep silent sometimes. So what happens is that person starts influencing you. You know our philosophy, you know Osho or something like that, he starts talking. And he starts putting so much garbage in your mind. And then you try to be very silent. Pratikshava, you know, keep silent. And we become very influenced by them. We shouldn't become influenced by people. We should, Krishna Prabhu was telling us that whenever there's a need, we should quickly speak philosophy for me. He said, I'm a specific businessman, that even till date nobody has dared to offer me a thumbs up or any cold drink. Or anybody has, nobody has dared to ask me to eat something from a bottle. Always put them to my coma, I take on fruit juices like that. Why? Because once a person tells him a word, or him to try this, then he will start pitching to him for 1 hour. That person gets fed up. You never tell him again. So, he told me, this is my tool, he said. So, devotees need to just preach always. So, actually, preaching itself is our armor. You understand the point? Preaching is our armor. Preach. See, by preaching, you are never going to become contaminated, isn't it? By preaching.